You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Ice House Podcast. My name is Briar, I'm the Community Manager, and in this conversation I sat down with Martin O'Sullivan. He is the Managing Director of Iceberg, a design and digital experience studio who work with ambitious businesses who seek to grow. He is an alumni of the Owner Manager Program 24, which is back in 2011, and he has stayed really connected to the Ice House community throughout the years. In this conversation, Martin unpacks his career journey and what led to Iceberg. He inspired me with lines like, "Values aren't values until you test them, and I wasn't going to die wondering." He unpacked the challenges Iceberg has overcome in recent years, their partnership model, advice he'd give to his younger self, and the importance of learning as a business owner and looking after yourself along the journey. Martin highlights his sense of purpose and what drives his day-to-day as Managing Director of Iceberg. I highly recommend tuning into this episode. Let's jump in now.
Thank you so much for being on the Ice House Podcast. We like to start with quite an open general question, so answer it as you wish. Who are you, Martin? What are you passionate about? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, firstly, thank you very much for having me. Lovely to be here. I'm Martin O'Sullivan, Managing Director of Iceberg. Iceberg is a design and digital studio based in Auckland. What am I passionate about? Oh, I suppose being challenged, you know, in terms of business, I suppose, is helping organisations grow, ambitious organisations that we work with grow, and doing that with great brand strategy that actually rides alongside or parallels with a really good business strategy, and helping them differentiate and market. And I suppose personally, just being a decent human being.
What does a day in the life of Martin actually look like? Alarm goes off.
Well, I've got a brown Labrador, so that's my enabler. So we go walking quite a bit.
Cool.
But I also, I suppose, quite a few years ago, realised that work-life balance is actually quite a really important thing, and I suppose to be mentally fit is a really important thing as well. So I go to what I would describe as a social experiment, which is a gym, and so I do a bit of that as well, and I play a bit of golf. But I suppose when the alarm goes off, it's usually exercise, eat, and go to work. But I'm actually quite lucky, and what I do is no day's the same, because we're always working on different projects and different stages of projects, and sometimes that's you know, a lot of brand strategic work and digital strategic work, and sometimes that's actually execution and creative as well. So it's always varied. And
do you have a preference in that, like strategy versus execution?
I really like the strategy, but I like both. I really like the strategy, because you really get into the nuts and bolts of a brand and start understanding what the pain points are in a business in terms of how they're communicating. The execution's always really exciting, because that's where the creative comes into it. And so you see you see brands come to life, or you see an execution, whether it's something on a billboard or on TV, or even just an identity that comes to life, or a website that's created, or an app, and so that's a really cool part of it as well.
Wow, that is cool. I'd like to know, within that, like, what's your sense of purpose? What drives you, gets you out of bed in the morning to do that each day?
Probably my biggest sense of purpose is to be happy. And just make sure that that work-life balance is there, and that if we say we're going to do something, we do it, and we have clients that are really, really happy with the services that we provide.
That's cool. Can you tell me a little bit about your career journey? So you finished school. What does it look like for Martin?
So I finished school and didn't really want to go to university, because I was tired of exams. So In the end, I went and studied tourism, and luckily got a job for Air New Zealand wearing a green suit and passenger services. You wouldn't want to stand by a fire, but so I was wearing that stuff. And then travelled quite a bit, because I always wanted to travel, and came back to New Zealand, worked in a bookshop, then went to Australia and worked in the mines, became a driller, and then travelled a lot more. Then went to Africa and was tour guide.
Wow.
For a year and a bit there, and then came back and went to film school at about age 26, and then went to Wellington, moved to Wellington and worked in film, and decided that film wasn't really for me because it was just quite slow, because I wanted to be a camera operator.
Yeah,
director. Of course he did. And and then moved to Hong Kong and started freelance camera operating.
Wow.
For news organisations, which I found quite interesting because it was quite fast-paced and you saw your work, you know, that night. So I worked for the CNNs and the AP10s and Reuters and as a freelancer, and then worked, did a one-year gig with Television Española, which I spent a lot of time travelling all through Southeast Asia, and and then left that due to health and safety issues because, you know, I got shot at quite a few times, and you see some stuff, right? And started having a family in Hong Kong, and then got involved in actually putting rich media, as we called it back then, you know, video on the internet and editing, and then moved back to New Zealand and worked for a company called October and the Interactive. We used to make CD-ROMs, remember those? And DVDs. And yes. And then got a job in a large agency after that, and that's when I set up the business. So it was quite a sort of a squiggly sort of line in terms of how I got to where I am today. So, yeah, it's...
Wow, that's so interesting.
But it was always a... Creativity was always an interesting part of my psyche, I suppose, my life, and something I really enjoyed. And so, yeah, that's how I got to where I am today, I suppose.
Because you would have had to move overseas to, you know, it's quite niche. I know there are camera operators here in New Zealand, obviously, for what we do, but it's very niche and it would be slower, like you say, and...
Yeah.
Less opportunity?
If you're working in film, yeah. And this was just before Lord of the Rings. So just Lord of the Rings hit just after I left.
Okay.
And then there was a huge amount of work. But to actually get on a camera to shoot film in New Zealand is such a long ladder. It's very, very hard. You know, it's a very niche and so many people want to do it. And there was not a lot happening you know, in that industry at the time. But really, really interesting to see it and to be involved in it. But news was always quite exciting, I suppose. Well, the stuff I was doing was quite exciting. Long days, though.
Yeah. I would love to hear the aha moment of bringing the business together. Was it, did it all just sort of, was there one big moment? Was it a series of collective events? How did Iceberg come about?
So Iceberg came about because I was in a partnership in another agency and I decided that that wasn't working for me. And I suppose that gets back to values, right? And values aren't values until you test them. And so I decided to leave that and set up Iceberg. And and we looked at lots of different names in terms of Iceberg and we settled on Iceberg. And I suppose we were using a metaphorical image a lot in strategy of an iceberg, right? So you're one third above the surface, which is... you know, public perception, and then two-thirds was brand equity. And doing our research on agencies globally, a lot of them are all sort of black and white, and which was kind of interesting. They all talked about themselves incessantly and how many awards they've won. And so we sort of thought Iceberg would be a great name because it's not about us.
Yes.
And it should be the client that's above the surface, visible, and we should be beneath the surface helping them and grow that brand and helping them execute and market. So that's why we settled on Iceberg.
I love that. Yeah, that's cool.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get Iceberg URL, so we chose weareiceberg.co, so yeah.
Awesome, I love that. And yeah, I'm just really interested, like, what was that first step in terms of going, I'm going out on my own, what was the first step in actually bringing it to life?
I suppose it was a belief.
Yeah.
That, and we had, you know, we had clients that we were working with, and it was really weird rebranding. It's a bit like a chef going home to cook, you know. So we rebranded ourselves, which was quite an interesting process. I suppose it was a belief in the team that we had, you know, within the business, and their belief that we could do it. So, yeah, it's you know, running a business is not an easy thing to do. It's quite a challenging. And at times quite a lonely occupation, I suppose. But, yeah, I suppose it was just, you know, let's give it a crack. Not going to die wondering, you know.
Yeah, I love that. How big's the team now, for context?
So we've actually changed it. COVID taught us quite a lot. So we've got a partnership model.
Yeah, great.
And so we've got a core team of around about 4 to 5 people, and so we're now bringing in experts, you know, to actually help us and execute on a whole bunch of stuff. But we hang on to all the thinking, all the design and all those bits and pieces, so mm-hmm. it's more about getting people to help us execute on briefs.
And that would be like videographers and photographers?
Yeah, whole full-service agency model is, in my humble opinion, is not sustainable because... Yeah. You can't do it. I mean, I used to be a camera operator, but I don't go and shoot stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so we bring in experts to do it. And especially with development, we have a number of really cool partners that we work with in terms of devving websites and apps. And it means that we've got the pick of anybody mm-hmm. rather than actually having people on hand that can only do it in a certain, you know, CMS or whatever. And so that makes it far more flexible
yeah.
in terms of how we can service the clients.
I'm interested in what your role is within the organisation. So is that managing your teams? Is that, what does that look like?
Yeah, I touched quite a few things, I suppose. But I suppose a key part of what I do is relationship, mm-hmm. Client management and rainmaking.
Yeah.
You know, finding clients that we want to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. That's really cool. Okay, I'd like to ask this question. Knowing what you know now, Martin, what's a piece of advice before you started your business or your younger self that you would give yourself a little bit of a heads up on?
relax. It's going to be okay. My bad haircut way back then is still a bad haircut today, and lots of other people still got the same bad haircuts and skateboards and short socks and are still around, so just relax. Never be afraid to ask for help.
Mm.
Just be yourself. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay, I think, you know, in the long run. And never stop learning because, you know, if you do, then you become stagnant. Mm-hmm. And I learned that a long time ago, there's two types of people in this world. There's people who do and people that don't. And always surround yourself with the people who do. Not the don'ters or the talkers, and yes. I find that quite inspiring, you know, because entrepreneurs are an interesting bunch, you know, they actually put their neck out and actually go, well, I'm going to try something, and I find that quite inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Have you met a lot of people along the way that you've been able to sort of bounce ideas around or like a community to support you as a business owner?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I learned early on that, you know, as I think I mentioned before, that running a business can be quite lonely. So I implemented a board. I bought a board on.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I was having conversations with myself in the mirror, you know, and it was really good to get them to hold my feet to the fire, as it were, and discuss things and tell me to slow down and or speed up or just actually think about stuff that you may not be thinking. And that helps you... helicopter the business, I suppose. And I suppose that's what the OMP did when I did it. It allowed me to sit back and actually just hover over what we were actually doing and where we were going rather than actually being in it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So you're getting that mentoring or advice, and that's something that I'd, you know, I'd say to myself way back then, is find someone or people that you... And it's not everybody, but find people you can relate to and have a beer with, a wine, or go for a walk with, but just actually get on with and you can talk to them.
Yeah, be open and real. And
yeah.
And what I've heard from other guests is it's not always your family that's the best people to do that with. It's sometimes people that sit outside your family, your partner or parents or whatever, that you can just be really open with about the highs and the lows and everything in between, right?
Yeah, look, I think family are great, but I think in terms of actually having a really objective, non-emotional approach to the feedback that you're getting is far better to do it from someone outside.
Yeah.
And they don't even need to know your business, but they need to understand business and the business owner's head and what you're doing in the market and all those bits and pieces so they can actually add value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I like what you said about the board because it's that collaboration piece, right, of going, I just need someone to bounce these ideas off that I keep talking to myself, you know, in the mirror about and to sort of guide me as the a bit of accountability as the owner, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, business is about discipline,
right?
And the board or the board that I had helped me create that discipline.
Yeah.
And to focus on the things you need to focus on, you know, and not worry about the stuff that you can't actually control. So, yeah, so that was huge for me. And they've become really good mates,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, so I sort of tap into them and talk to them every now and again about stuff. Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah, fantastic. I wanted to touch on a challenge and then a highlight, you know, in the last year or even the business journey. If I say the word challenge in terms of being in your business, what is one that stands out to you and how did you overcome that?
I suppose probably in the last few years a massive challenge for us is what's COVID, and it was really interesting because as soon as that wave hit, the phone stopped.
Mm.
You know, everybody was working from home. People had young families. It was just a very, very weird time. And, you know, we got through it, and it's amazing how quickly you can adjust. And it was amazing how quickly clients adjusted and how the, you know, the norms of actually presenting creative virtually rather than actually in a room with people has become the norm now. And we don't do it a lot anymore, but we did with one project, an entire brand strategic, big, lot of stakeholder heavy, and then identity and rollout was all done virtually, which was very unusual. But it worked, you know, and so it taught us how to actually harness that video technology and adjust systems and processes to actually suit the client's needs also.
Fantastic. I'm interested, like, is your brain involved in the strategy, like identity part when you're working with a business and developing their brand? Like, is that something that personally you actually are involved in?
Yeah, and it depends on the project. Probably the upfront and strategic piece, but I've got clever people. You know, Dave, creative director, very clever guy. He manages all of that sort of stuff. So I dip in and out, but I leave them to it. You know, nothing worse than having someone coming in and looking at work when it's not finished.
So
bugger off.
So true.
So I oversee it, but I'm not intimately involved in it because I trust them.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. They understand the process and the strategy and what the client actually requires. And so, yeah, I leave them to it.
Yeah. So when you started the business, did you start it with a thought of, I'm going to start this so that I can hire great people and manage this agency or manage this business? Or did you start it because you were like, I am passionate about brand and strategy, or maybe a mix? Sorry, I'm throwing questions all over the show.
Yeah, that's cool. I suppose we started it because we had clients and we knew we could service them.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy what we do. You know, I really enjoy seeing businesses grow and differentiate and market and seeing the effects of actually taking an idea, even if it's a startup, and growing that.
Mm.
And we were lucky enough to work with one client that was an idea, startup, and you know, we worked with them for the first 5 years and they went nuts. It was great to actually you know, see that organization grow, and they're still around today. So it was a number of different things, really. I enjoyed the people I was working with. We all enjoyed the work, and just seemed like there was opportunity there.
Yeah, fantastic. No, that's really cool. And on the other side, what's something that you're proud of that's happened within the business in the last year or two?
Well, we're still here.
Yeah, that is a huge thing.
So we're still going. Oh, look, I suppose what I'm proud of most is that we work with great clients and there's a really lovely collaboration and partnership with those clients.
Mm.
And last year, we did quite a bit of work in the iwi space, and that's really, 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 really enjoyable, really meaningful work, because the work stays here and it actually helps grow intergenerational wealth within iwi. And last year I completed my te reo level 1 and 2,
fantastic,
which was really, really interesting.
Mm.
More interesting in terms of the cultural side than actually learning the language.
Yeah.
You know, going to the marae and meeting a whole bunch of other people who are studying it as well. So. Yeah, so that was probably a highlight in the last year.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's a cool personal achievement too. I love hearing that. Do you ever say no to a client because they're not the right client for you, or is there a discovery session or process?
Interesting you ask that question. I think the word no is an underutilized word at times in business. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we make sure our values align with our clients' values. And if they don't, then we have a bit of a think about it.
Yeah.
There has been on a few occasions where we haven't engaged with clients, or we've stopped working with clients because those values have been tested. And, yeah. And look, it's great for cash flow, but it's not great for culture.
Oh, that's a gold line. And going right back to why you even started the business, right, was a value thing and yeah. values alignment. So
yeah.
it's important you keep that the same. I like that. I want to talk a little bit about your first connection with the Ice House. Where were you at in your business when you decided to do the owner-managed program?
So I was with a partner in another agency at the time, and I, when I set up the agency, I actually had a desk in the Ice House. With another company I was working with, and so I sat with them for quite some time.
Cool.
And about a year after that, I was approached by Mike and decided to do the OMP.
Cool. Yeah.
So awesome. I've always had quite a close connection, I suppose, with the Ice House, and still do today.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we were just chatting that you did the owner manager program in 2012.
Yeah.
2011. Crazy.
Making me feel old.
Sorry.
But still, you know, still a lot of the learnings that I got from that, I still look at today.
Wow.
And I suppose that's what I learned at that as business is a lot around discipline.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's so cool to hear. When at the time when Mike was at Mike Stokes, was it?
Mm.
When he came and
plug for Mike Stokes.
Yeah, a little plug there. There you go, Mike, if you're listening. So when he came and he asked you to go on the owner managed program, or he mentioned it, were there any hesitations for you? Do you remember at the time?
I suppose it was a time thing. There was a cost element to it as well. But no, when I read the program and looked at it and thought it would actually be a very good thing for me to do.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's really cool. And I know we're talking 2011 here, but you say that you still look at things from today. Were there any key takeaways for you that really stood out, even if it's more from a people and community perspective or things you learnt?
Yeah, I suppose the biggest thing I learnt when I was doing the OMP is that every business owner has got the same issues, same things that keep them up at night. You know, it's people, cash flow, pipeline, clients, all that sort of stuff. I also learnt that a lot of the best learnings are at the bar.
Yes.
With respect to the course, of course.
Absolutely.
Because you get to chat to people and you can sort of say, hey, I've got this thing going on. Have you ever experienced that? And they go, yeah, I did this, and this is how I fixed this, and this is what I did. And so that was actually invaluable.
Mm. Walls it down a bit.
Yeah. And it was just good to be with a bunch of people that are all wanting to learn and wanting to grow, and they were all very open, so it was really easy.
Mm. I want to go back to something you said around, you know, business owners all have similar issues and problems, and I've definitely heard this before, and opportunities too.
Mm.
Why do you think people want to be business owners if there's things that keep them up at night, like cash flow? And, you know, obviously that it's easier to be an employee at times.
Yeah, I think it's because they want to be challenged.
Mm.
And I think they've just got an inner drive that they can do better, and they don't want to settle for average.
Yeah.
They want to be best, and it doesn't matter what they do, they want to actually give it a shot. And look, not everybody succeeds in doing that, but at least they did try it. And I think that's a massive driver with business owners, that they really want to push the boundaries and really see what they can actually do with their lives.
Yeah.
And their business and how far that can take them.
Totally. Instead of die wondering, like you said, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Has engaging in the Ice House program in any way unlocked any sense of community for you in terms of what we talked about right at the start, being around other business owners that are wired or like-minded?
Yeah, there is a good community. I mean, obviously, I know Liz quite well, and you know, just arriving here, I bumped into another guy that I know quite well, and you know, I go to events and bump into people, and you have a bit of a chat, and yeah, it's great to actually have a collegial sort of, you know, a conversation with people that you know through business, and you just know, you can just have a bit of a conversation because you're both running something and running a business, and yeah. So you can sort of get right down into having a good chat rather than, you know, small talk.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's been very, really good.
Yeah, that's cool to hear. I'd like to hear, and to wrap things up too, what is a personal and professional goal that you're currently working towards, or, you know, towards in the future?
Well, I'll go back to that decent human being comment.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important for me. That work-life balance was really, really important from a personal point of view. From a professional goal, I suppose, is just to keep learning. You know, in my industry, you've always got to have your eye on the technology and what's changing and how markets are changing. It's changed dramatically. Just even over the last 2 years with AI, which is really, really interesting. And I suppose it's how to harness those that technology and look at opportunities in terms of expansion, growth, and just to keep pushing and create a culture within the organisation that people, you know, want to be involved in, and clients want to be involved in, and you can have that sort of magnetic pull, I suppose. Yeah, so it's I suppose that's a big driver from a business point of view. Yeah,
That's interesting. That's cool. I just want to touch on one thing you said around like work life balance and things like that.
Yeah,
was there an aha moment around that, or was it something you've always known you wanted to keep and improve and work on?
I've always been pretty active in terms of outdoors and pursuits, but I suppose my father passed away about 7 years ago, and then I had an uncle that had a stroke, and he was a very fit man, and well, pretty fit. Good time fit, should I say. And I just sort of thought, crikey, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be, I don't want to, growing old's a weird thing, but I don't want to be, you know, having that sort of happen to me. So yeah, I sort of took it on myself to actually be more active, active than I was. So yeah, so
yeah, totally.
And I think if you're psychologically fit, it helps you make decisions better, and you sort of you can sort of focus more, and if you've got better brain power to focus on stuff. Because if you're not well and you're tired and you're not fit, then I think it's a lot harder.
Yeah,
but hell, that's just my humble opinion.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's so cool. And honestly, Martin, there has been a lot that I know listeners will cling to or gain a bit of inspiration from in terms of this conversation. Thank you for allowing me to add in 20 extra questions. really, really cool to hear your story, what you're working on, and what excites you about the future as well. So thank you for being on the Ice House podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Brian. Love to be here. Thank you.